Good morning, everyone. Yes, Alexa, we do have a slide there you can pop up. Earlier this year, we're at Optus Stadium for the 2020 Big Bash, Scorchers versus Stars. Anyone go to one of those games over summer? The main event is finals cricket, and there's an exciting game happening on the field. But over in one section of the stand, just not far from me, there's distractions. There's agitators in the crowd. And you know what they're doing? They're heading up the creation of beer snakes. Have you ever heard of that before? It's a new concept for me. My kids had to explain it. I just thought it was a bit of fun. But what it is empty cups are collected from the crowd and stacked together, forming snake-like chains. And these snakes can sometimes span rows as hundreds of cups are stacked together. And it's a thing. And it starts out as fun, but it becomes a distraction as the crowd is more focused on the snakes than the match happening in the field. And in extreme cases, it even causes disruption and delay to the actual game itself. The main event gets overshadowed by the sideshow happening up here. In our case, it escalates from just a bit of fun to security guards swarming over the area, escorted out of Optus Stadium. And I realise my attention is taken from the main event as I get caught up in this. Now, just for the record, I'm not supplying cups or stacking them together. Have you ever found yourself distracted, even derailed, far away from the main thing? Well, today we're starting a series in Galatians. And Galatians is a short, hard-hitting letter from the Apostle Paul to the churches in the region of Galatia, probably our modern-day Turkey kind of area. And the churches he's writing to are relatively new church plants established by Paul and Barnabas when they were on their missionary journey through the region of Galatia about 47 AD. They preach the gospel, the good news, that forgiveness and freedom of sin is through faith in the grace of Jesus. We can't save ourselves. Jesus saves us. And this good news is received with great joy by the people in Galatia. It spreads rapidly. Jews and Gentiles come to Christ, and churches are planted all through the region. But there's pushback. There's agitators in the churches, false teachers, we might call them, Judaizers, who push back on both Paul and the message of faith and grace in Jesus that he brings. And these agitators are distorting the message of the gospel, drawing the believers away from the main thing. So Paul writes to the churches saying, "I'm shocked. What's happened? You've been so quickly deceived. The good news of Jesus is being distorted. It's being diminished. It's being confused. It's being mingled with other things." So this is an urgent letter. Stop getting distracted by the beer snake who just walked out there. Troy, what's he up to? I can see what you're up to, guys. It's an urgent letter because the gospel message is at stake. And what we'll notice about Galatians, it has a different vibe to Paul's other letters. There's no expressions of thanks and praise and commendation. There's no opening thoughts like "to the faithful followers" or "our hearts overflow with thanksgiving for you." There's no gentle explanation of the dangers upon them. No, he gets straight into defending the gospel and defending his authority to bring the gospel to the people. It's urgent. There are beer snakes threatening the main game in the churches in Galatia. So let's open up to Galatians 1. And we're going to read the verses up to verse 12. And we'll pause and we're going to chat along the way and try and understand what's going on here. Does that sound all right? Galatians 1, verse 1. "Paul, an apostle, sent not from man nor by a man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me." He opens straight up with his authority to bring the gospel. He came to them on his missionary journey as an apostle appointed by God to bring the message of Jesus from God. He wasn't elected by a human council or sent from a church. He wasn't chosen from a popularity vote. He didn't come bringing his own philosophies. He's sent directly by God to bring the good news of Jesus. And this is significant straight from the outset. The gospel of Jesus is not a human initiative. We have to keep remembering that. Even though most often we hear the gospel spoken through one another, it's from God. So it's not ours to reshape or add to or water down or blend with. Salvation through Jesus is God's rescue plan for humanity from the beginning of time, and it's unchanging. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Paul makes it clear from the start, the gospel message is not ours to distort. And the letter goes on in verse 3. You can pop the next slide up, Alexa. To the churches in Galatia, he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And now Paul takes us straight to the gospel, straight to the good news that radically changed the Galatians when they first heard it. He brings everything back to Jesus and the cross. Rescue, forgiveness, deliverance from sin, new creation life. They're only found in Jesus. In the cosmic battle of good and evil, he says, Jesus is the victor. It's all about Jesus. Faith in Jesus, grace through Jesus. We can't save ourselves, but Jesus can. And it's all thanks to God and his never giving up love for humanity. So all glory for this wonderful message goes to God. We believe and receive the grace and live in it wholeheartedly, and this gives glory to the Father God. This wonderful good news came into the lives of the Galatians and changed them. And now Paul speaks so strongly in verse 6. I'm astonished. Other versions might say, I can't believe it. I'm shocked. I'm extremely irritated that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Gospel means good news. It comes from the old word meaning God's story. And God's story is all about Jesus. Everything in Scripture from the beginning to the end is always pointing to Jesus and his death and resurrection on the cross, which is our salvation. When we hear Paul almost reconsidering his words in this verse, you can't turn to a different gospel because anything apart from Jesus and the cross is not the gospel. It's not the good news. It's not from God. So Paul goes on. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and trying to pervert, distort, turn the gospel of Christ on its head. The agitators, the false teachers within the Galatian churches are bringing a different message to the one Paul brought to the Galatians from God. It's helpful to remember the backstory of Christianity, that the first Christians were Jewish Christians. The good news of Jesus came first to the Jewish people. And we heard this when we did the series on Romans last year sometime. Before Jesus and the cross, the Jewish people, God's people, lived under the law. And the law was good. It was God's special instructions to teach his people how to live in good relationship with one another and how to live in relationship with God. The law was God's design to help them understand sin. Don't steal, don't murder, don't commit adultery gives us a pretty good understanding of how wounded our hearts have become towards each other and God. The law was God's way of managing sin and forgiving sin. It acted like a guardian, Paul says later on in Galatians. It acted like a guardian until Jesus would come and deal with sin and forgiveness completely on the cross, as Tina reminded us so beautifully this morning. The law was always pointing to our need for a Saviour and was always looking to Jesus. And here's the good news. This whole first chapter is about there's no other good news than the good news of Jesus. So if I reiterate the message of Jesus, that's the idea here, is there's no other message. So here's the good news. Here's the gospel that came through Jesus. We are all desperately sinful and wounded. We are. And Jesus is the only one who has the power to save us. On the cross, he's forgiven us. He's brought our freedom from sin and given us his righteousness to live in. And all of this is his grace. And all who receive this grace by faith in Jesus are gifted with his Spirit living within us, restoring our hearts, recreating us into new life, freeing us to love God and one another. The law was a good guardian. But now the Holy Spirit that comes to us by grace from Jesus, he leads us well beyond the law into freedom and goodness and love for one another and righteousness. We're safe in the Holy Spirit. This is what Paul's saying all through Galatians. We're safe in the grace of Jesus. We're safe in the Holy Spirit. And later on, we'll hear more about the beautiful life that is ours in the Holy Spirit. The gospel of Jesus is all grace. All of this is gifted to us. But the false teachers and the agitators are some of the Jewish Christians in this Galatian churches. They've only known law, and now they're changing their mind about the gospel of grace that they received when Paul came to them. They accuse Paul of discarding the law to win approval with the Gentiles. Grace makes it easier for the Gentiles to come to faith. They don't have to follow the law anymore. They just come in with grace. And these agitators, they're fearful of the Jewish leaders that they were once under. So they keep one foot in both camps, one foot in their Jewish religion of old, one foot in the new message of Christ, trying to please both. So they circulate a different message to the message Paul brought. Not Jesus alone, but a message of Jesus and. You can make yourself more acceptable to God with Jesus and our Jewish laws, with Jesus and the practice of Jewish circumcision, with Jesus and these Jewish rituals. We're getting the picture of some of the problems here in Galatia, while why Paul is so urgent. I've been thinking about this message of grace this week. And these agitators, they're fearful of people, so they're keeping a foot in both camps. But there's deeper reasons why it's hard to accept and live in a gospel of grace. Have you ever thought about grace? Grace is so countercultural to our human nature. Grace, in its essence, is undeserved favour given to us. Grace offends our fleshy pride. Grace means we can't save ourselves through effort and achievement and our own goodness. Our flesh nature, if you haven't noticed, is always seeking some kind of glory and credit for the things that we do. We know that, don't we? Because we know ourselves. The gospel of grace says it's all about what Jesus does. And this offends our human pride. Grace also triggers fear. Beyond just the fear of fellow man that we see here amongst the agitators, grace is so outrageously generous. Grace is outrageous. Have you ever thought about that? An undeserved gift given to us. We don't know what to do with grace, so we fear grace. All legalism is fear of grace. It's fear-based. We're not sure if grace is enough. So instead of trusting and living in the freedom of grace, we restrict grace. We contain it. We add rules to it and law-based religion just for extra security because we don't know if we can trust grace. This is the message of the agitators. Grace is not enough. You can make yourself more acceptable. You can make yourself more righteous. You can have more assurance with Jesus and instead of freedom, they come back under the law. And verse 8 are some of the strongest words of warning and condemnation that Paul ever writes. But even if we, he adds himself into this, even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. And Paul repeats the warning and the cursing so we know how serious it is to add anything or change the gospel. As we've already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, the gospel of grace in Jesus alone, let them be under God's curse. This is no small thing happening here in Galatia, and he includes himself in the warning. The gospel message is at stake. Christ died for nothing if we save ourselves through our own strength and effort and restriction. The gospel's not ours to edit or add to or water down or progress from. And Paul speaks cursing over anyone who would distort the gospel of grace that is all about Jesus and what he has done. And then Paul goes on in verse 10, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I was still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. Paul refuses to back down or reshape God's message of grace to please people, even if he loses the affections and the popularity of people, which we know that he does. He lives a tough life because of the gospel. And then he says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. And once again, he goes on and he defends his authority by going on and telling his story, telling his testimony. We're not going to read these verses. We're going to stop here. But here's the crutch of it. He was a Jewish Pharisee. He was a Jewish leader. He lived for the law. He preached the law. He was more than an agitator. He was a persecutor who tried to stop the gospel of grace in its tracks until his life is completely and personally transformed by grace. An encounter with Jesus completely changes his life forever. And he says, over the next years after I had this encounter with Jesus, he said, the gospel of grace was confirmed into my life and heart and mind by the Holy Spirit, who taught him and equipped him to take the message of salvation to the Gentiles. He's saying to the Galatians, I brought you a message directly from God, and now you've moved away from it. And maybe our shackles are rising a little bit as we kind of read the opening of this letter to the Galatians. You know, I've kind of tried to keep a bit of an edgy atmosphere through it, you know, as we've journeyed through. Maybe we're thinking, I can't believe these Galatians. How were they so easily derailed from the main thing? How were they so easily swayed? But we need to pause our judgment and consider how this letter written to them is for us as the church here in 2026. This journey through Galatians that we're going to take over the next few weeks is opportunity for us to reflect, to repent, to realign to the gospel of grace through Jesus as our only message, our only focus, as a thing that takes all our energy. Some of the agitators in Galatia were just well-meaning Jewish Christians who missed the grace of the gospel. And in fear and pride, they add things and they add religious performance to the perfect work of Jesus. So we ask ourselves, as the church here at Northreach, we ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to us personally and collectively as a faith community, are we missing the grace of the gospel in any way? Are there beer snakes taking our time and attention, our hearts away from the main thing, which is faith and grace in Jesus alone. Here's some things for us to consider as a way of opening our reflections that I hope we will continue to go on and reflect on. And these reflections are not for guilt. They're for our freedom. These reflections are not for us to try harder, but to take whatever is revealed to Jesus. He's the one who loves us. He's the one who's gracious towards us. He's the one who wants our freedom. Are we missing the grace? Are we adding requirements, our own Jesus and laws, as we live this faith life together? You know, my dad was a pastor in the 80s. He remembers Sunday services being Jesus and communion table wars. If the communion table was not in the same place to the centimetre, the sacredness was lost. It was Jesus and. Are there things we do in community together, in processes, in style, in worship, expectations that burden us instead of leading us into freedom in Christ? One of our values as a faith community is simplicity. Troy's already mentioned this. Jesus keeps things pretty simple. My yoke is easy and light, he says. It's religion. It's the man-made requirements you add that burdens you. A good question for us to keep asking together is this giving us life in Jesus as we consider adding it to what we do? To continue this thought, are we placing our own personal Jesus and requirements upon one another? Someone confessed to me recently, I'm a busy person. I do a lot for Jesus, and I've realized I project this onto other people, thinking less of other believers who don't work as hard as I do. We must guard our hearts and thoughts towards one another. Are we placing expectations and judging each other according to our practices, our preferences, our expressions of worship, our expressions of giftings? This is Jesus and. And when we do this, we miss the grace. Are we secretly proud of our good works, our righteousness, our morality, our spiritual growth, our gifts? Look how far I've come. Do we compare ourselves with one another and come out feeling better or worse? How do we respond to sin and messy people? Are we shocked, or do we remember our need for a saviour? What about our own sin? Are we stuck in cycles of guilt and then trying to make amends with Jesus? Our achievement and effort and self-improvement and self-righteousness, these things are not the gospel. Spiritual growth, maturity, good works, forgiveness, gifts amongst us are entirely the Spirit's transforming work of grace in our lives. So we rejoice in this grace together. We don't hold back. We're not scared of rejoicing in the grace. But beware of our sneaky pride that diminishes the grace of Jesus. Are we concerned with people pleasing over blessing God? Do we evaluate success in our community by each other's approval? Are we wanting to please and be pleased by people as the main thing? You know, if the worship's good, I'm pleased with that. If they sing the songs I like, I'm pleased with that. If someone comes and says a word of thanks to me after I've done something, well, then I've succeeded. I've done right. I've done good. How many times have I missed the grace because I've been more concerned about pleasing people than about pleasing the Lord? What are the motivations of our heart as we serve one another and the Lord? You know, the psalmist says, create in me a clean heart, renew a right spirit in me, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. This is a good prayer to make our own personal prayer. The Lord will honor that prayer. He will help us with our motivations. May the joy of our salvation be our joy and motivation in all that we do. You know, our call is to love one another deeply. People pleasing is Jesus and we miss the grace. continuing this people-pleasing theme, are we reshaping God's word and his designs for life to blend in with the forever-changing truth of our times? Do we water down the gospel of sin and forgiveness to make it more comfortable in our you-do-you, whatever-goes society? Are we bowing to culture as a faith community in any subtle ways? As churches around us are embracing progressive theologies, are we staying firm and true to the Word of God? And one final reflection, because we can't reflect on everything that goes on in our messy, prideful Jesus and tendencies, can we? But one final reflection, is there any disunity amongst us as we align ourselves with political ideologies and powerful people? We're seeing that more and more in our times, aren't we? Dividing lines in our community become Jesus and we miss the grace. You know, it's a strong start to Galatians. Paul's defending the gospel. He says to distort the gospel is to lose the gospel of grace. He's so passionate that every one of us lives in the fullness of freedom and grace in Jesus alone. The author of Hebrews says, make sure no one misses the grace. We don't want to miss the grace. So we help one another as we do life together, as we ask the Holy Spirit to bring to mind anything that has crept into our hearts and into our community. I encourage you to do that. I've been doing that through the week. Things have come to my mind that I go, wow, that is a Jesus and. I'm sorry, Lord. I'm missing the grace. I'm putting restrictions on someone else or restricting my own heart because of my Jesus and. We want the gospel of grace alone that brings freedom in our lives. We want Jesus alone exalted in our lives and in this faith community, because there's nothing like the gospel of Jesus. There's nothing like the gospel of Jesus. It is the good news. And within this hard-hitting kind of opening chapter that has a bit of an irritated, edgy kind of feel, we hear the power and the delights and the beauty of the gospel. Did you hear it as we went through? You kind of had to listen for it. The gospel is rescue. In the cosmic battle of good and evil, life and death and sin, we're safe in Jesus. He's rescued us from this evil age and liberated us into new creation life. The gospel is truth. In a world of instability, the word of God stands true forever. Sir Keir Starmer, the PM of the UK, I heard this on the radio this week. He said, the fight for trust is the battle that defines our age. We can trust the gospel. It's God's word, not human initiative. The gospel is power. When Jesus meets us and intersects our life, we are forever changed. The gospel is transformation, a lifelong journey of renewal from the inside out. The gospel is liberation from the bondage of self and fear and pride and others. We are free people in Jesus. The gospel is relationship with the one who loves us and gifts us with his grace and his spirit and his life. The gospel is Jesus. The gospel is Jesus. The late theologian Tim Keller asks this question that I leave with you today. Is the gospel in your life? Is the gospel in your life? Are you living in the delights of Jesus' grace? Don't miss the gospel. Don't miss the grace by getting caught up in all these other things. Don't miss the gospel. Don't miss the grace. Can I pray? Father, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you that by your Spirit, you are increasing the revelation of what Jesus has done in our hearts, lives, and minds. You're increasing the revelation of Jesus in this community. And Lord, as we've read this first chapter of Galatians, please show us in your kindness and your love for us, please show us the things that need to be revealed to us. Maybe the difficult things, maybe the things we don't want to acknowledge in our own hearts. Maybe even as this community, are there things that you want to reveal to us? I just say, bring it on, Lord. We don't want to live in bondage. We want to live in the freedom that you have bought for us. So come, Lord, in your kindness and gentleness and show us the things you want to show us. And we say thank you for the gospel that has completely changed us from the inside out. We say, Jesus, how would we do this life without you? We know we cannot save ourselves. We are powerless to save ourselves. But not you. You are the one. So may you be glorified in every life here represented today. And may you be glorified through Encounter Church, through North Reach, as we declare that you are the only one. We pray these things in Jesus' name.